We now move on to perhaps the largest group of invisible workers, millions and millions of unpaid laborers who toil away every day supporting some of the biggest companies in the world. I'm talking about you. I mean, think about it. You pump your own gas at the service station, check out and bag your own groceries at the self-checkout line, book your own flights online, and bus your own table at the coffee shop. All things other people used to do for you. Craig Lambert calls this shadow work, and he says it's turning us all into middle-class serfs. Steve Paulson caught up with him.
Craig, you've written a whole book on these unseen jobs that we take on every day, but for the most part, these are just small chores or minor inconveniences. Why do you think we need to talk about this kind of work?
Well, these are jobs that very often were someone else's job in the past, and we often aren't aware that we're doing them. Kind of sleepwalking through the day, we don't know we're doing shadow work, even while we're bagging our own groceries or pumping our own gas or becoming our own travel agents. We go into the airports and we check in with a kiosk instead of a human being. And there's a lot of time that gets absorbed by shadow work. And we don't notice that leisure time or free time slipping away.
So you're talking about self-service jobs. I mean, essentially jobs that used to be done by other people that were paid to do this, and now we do it ourselves.
That's right. Self-serve is sort of the watchword now. We've entered a self-serve economy in a lot of ways. And self-service very often becomes a synonym for no service. One thing that happens when you are your own, it's your job to do these things, is that people get edited out of the transaction. And you're dealing with kiosks instead of people.
And yet I'm guessing that a lot of people would see this as progress. I mean, in some ways, we're saving time and money by pumping our own gas or booking our own flights. And usually, if you really want someone else to do these things, you have that choice. You can find someone to do it. So I guess the question is, you know, what's wrong with giving people the option of doing these tasks on their own?
Well, indeed, you're quite right, Steve, that there are many cases when people choose to do shadow work. They will feel, for example, that they can get out of the gas station faster if they handle the transaction themselves. One example of self-serve is in restaurants when we go to a salad bar. Very often now, the customer is the person that has the job of making the salad, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it gives you more autonomy. You get to control exactly how much you put in the terms of those cherry tomatoes or the romaine lettuce and how much dressing you put on. But on the other hand, you might have preferred to spend that time sitting at the table with your family or your friends chatting and have someone else make the salad for you.
But I suppose there's another way of looking at this, that maybe a lot of these kinds of jobs that were kind of service jobs that, you know, people used to do now that are getting phased out. And maybe those aren't such great jobs and we'd be better off just, you know, acknowledging that they don't exist anymore, we don't really need them, and that we should instead be trying to create jobs that cannot be done by machines that require skill and training and the human touch.
It's true that the future probably is one where people with more skill are going to have a lot easier time getting a job, and particularly technical skills. Shadow work jobs like pumping gas are often ones that the customer can learn immediately, in a minute or less. So those entry-level jobs are disappearing, and one has to wonder what's going to happen in the future. If an ATM removes the need for a teller, how does a teller, like my dad once was, work his way up to become the CEO of the bank? You've got to start somewhere. But it's also true that there are higher-level jobs that are being affected by shadow work, too. If you are a lawyer, a lot of legal forms can be downloaded online and filled out by the customer, the client at home, and perhaps brought for a lawyer to see them to kind of do some light lawyering. So sometimes even the higher skilled professions could be vulnerable.
Well, I mean, really what you're describing is all of these little jobs where, I mean, basically we're having some sort of interface with a machine to do this stuff. I mean, that's usually the way it happens. It's cutting out a certain level of human interaction. I mean, we dealt with strangers more in our life than we do now, I think.
Yes. I talk about the way in which shadow work silos people. They get stuck in their own little world for a moment with a robot or a kiosk instead of dealing with a human being. And then there is a great deal of it coming out of the internet and out of advancing technology, which makes it possible for people to do things like book their own travel, which they never could do 30 years ago because they didn't have the information available.
Yeah. Well, it raises also the question, if we're talking about new technology and how this all figures into the information economy. I don't even know if this fits into your concept of shadow work, but let's take Facebook, for example. I mean, every time we log onto Facebook, we are, in a sense, doing work for them. I mean, we are helping them build their algorithms. I mean, essentially, we're helping their advertising. Is that shadow work?
It absolutely is. It is shadow work when we contribute to any of these consumer-driven sites like Facebook or like Yelp, when we write consumer reviews. Facebook is something that is so gigantic that when they went public and sold stock for several billion dollars, some of the users said, hey, where's my cut? Because all the content on Facebook has been created by the users. That's all free work. It has been done for nothing. Now, the users certainly get something for their free work. They get the enjoyment of using Facebook. And Facebook will always encourage people to post more, to add more friends, to tell us more about your favorite videos and music and so on. Because the more information they have, the more they can sell. This is one of the adages of the information economy, is that if you are not paying for the product, you are the product. You are going to be what is being sold by Facebook to the advertiser because they have your attention, they have your contact information, and that is one of the most precious resources there is in this day and age.
So the question is that a fair trade? You know, Facebook and other big tech companies get all kinds of information about us, and we get to use it, and we get to connect with people in ways that we wouldn't otherwise.
Well, that's right. In terms of whether it's fair or not, that really is each individual's call. How much time do you have? How much are you willing to invest in this? And do you mind if things get siphoned off and sold to advertisers that you thought you were just doing for your own entertainment?
Could we put this in some historical perspective? I mean, because really what you're talking about is you're saying we're just taking on lots more work that we didn't have probably even a few decades ago. But it raises the question of, are we really working harder? I mean, let's compare this to a couple hundred years ago. I mean, we no longer have to make our own food or clothes from scratch. We can have practically any product we want delivered to our door. And you can only imagine what it's going to be like in the future. So I guess the question is, I mean, is life really getting harder?
If you go back to colonial America, you'll see that almost everyone was doing housework all the time. You were gathering wood to make fire for heat. You were raising animals. You were planting crops. You were building the house itself. You were weaving wool to make your own clothing. It was subsistence work, and men, women, and children all spent almost all their time doing housework. Now, with the Industrial Revolution, that changed because people started going away from the home. They would leave the home and go to a factory or an office to make money and buy things that would enable their household to continue. And that's when housework in the modern sense really came about. So that was a change. And what has happened is technology has given us a great deal of power in creating more productivity. We're much more productive workers now. And you would think that maybe we could knock off at noon. We're so productive per hour.
Right. That's always the thing that amazes me. I mean, we have all of this new technology, all of this new automation. So why don't we work fewer hours? Instead, we seem to be working more hours.
About 1928, John Maynard Keynes wrote an essay in which he said that the future in the 21st century, people were going to be working very little and they would be taking long vacations, months of vacation time. And it hasn't worked out like that at all. What has happened is our standard of living has gone through the roof. We now produce and consume a huge amount more than we did in the 20s or 30s, not to mention the 19th century. We don't realize how much our standard of living has gone up and how much we are scrambling to pay our Visa bills and our MasterCards in order to buy all these new things that are available and that technology makes possible.
So help me figure out this equation. We produce a lot more. Maybe when we work harder, I don't know, but we have a much higher standard of living. I guess the question is it all worth it?
Well, it comes down to what you value. As we do have a higher standard of living in material sense. We consume more goods and services. What I think has happened, though, is that we are losing control of our time. We are working a great amount, probably more than ever. And when we talk about saving time, we don't pay attention to the quality of the time. That's a purely quantitative judgment. I saved time. But what about how that time felt? What about the quality of your time? Did you enjoy it? We are turning a lot of our leisure time into work by the means of shadow work and by the fact that there is in an internet economy, production and consumption are essentially available 24 hours a day. And I think that we should recalibrate a bit. We need to take a step back and recognize how we are spending that time and whether it's really the trade-off we want to make. Is this really what we would rather do when we're doing that shadow work, when we're filling out a survey to tell our healthcare provider what we felt about our last visit to the office in great detail? Is that really how we want to be spending those 5 minutes? Or would we rather be throwing a frisbee with our daughter out in the yard? I think we have to start noticing when we're being asked to do things for nothing and whether that's really the choice that we would like to make under these conditions.
Craig Lambert is a former writer and editor at Harvard Magazine, and he's the author of Shadow Work, the unpaid, unseen jobs that fill your day. Steve Paulson talked with him.